there was... I once... The Rebbe once said, and these words are very precious to me because I heard them from the Rebbe during his last public address. The last Vabrengen he held was Shabbos Parshas Vayakel, Tov Shinun Beis, 1992. It was also Parshas Shkalim. And I heard then from the Rebbe the following idea. Everybody knows, in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command the Jewish people that every Jew should donate a machtzis shekel, a half of a shekel. And the pasuk goes on to say, Esrim geira hashekel b'shekel hakodesh, a shekel is 20 geira, and they had to donate each Jew a half a shekel, which is 10 geira. A wealthy man couldn't give more, and a poor man couldn't give less. A shekel is assumed approximately to be, there's an argument if it's the weight of 16 gram of silver or 13.33 gram of silver, but in any case, that's a shekel. Shekel was a certain coin, a coin of silver that weighed a certain amount, and every Jew had to give half a shekel. So the Rebbe asked two questions that are famous questions. A, we know that everything that a Jew was expected to give in the Beis HaMikdash and the Holy Temple was to be complete, to be beautiful and to be complete. In general, when a Jew does something for Hashem, he attempts that it should be complete and beautiful. And here the commandment is that your service should be incomplete. If you want to give a complete shekel, we don't take it from you. You must give half of a shekel. And then the pasuk continues and says, what's the amount of a half a shekel? People want to know. So the pasuk says, 20 geira is a shekel. Why can the pasuk say a half a shekel is 10 geira? Go direct. Why do you say 20 geira is a shekel? So you have to anyway deduce from the fact that, from this fact that it's 10 geira. So say initially it's 10 geira. So the Rebbe explained that the meaning in this mitzvah is totally different. The physical giving of a half a shekel was an expression of a psychological process. Essentially, a Jew has to give a shekel, not a half a shekel. A Jew says the half a shekel.
Flipping over the shekel.
A Jew has to give a shekel, not a half a shekel. A Jew has to give 20 geira, not 10 geira. That's why the pasuk says 20 geira is the shekel. You have to give something complete. But the soul of a Jew is half. It's essentially half. So when two souls contribute a half a shekel, my soul has given a complete shekel. To tell me, or to tell you to give a complete shekel, is not the real story of what is going on. The nature of the soul is that it's half. That is the nature of every soul. The soul needs love. The soul loves essentially because the soul is part of other souls. The soul is not self-contained, is not selfish. The soul is transcendental and is part and parcel of the cosmic eye, and thus it's molded and crafted and lost and together and intertwined and interconnected with many other souls. So if I give a complete shekel, I was unloyal to my soul because my soul remains half. If I think I'm complete, I'm incomplete. My soul needs love. My soul needs relationships. The soul is capable of real relationships because it's part and parcel of every other Jew. That is the nature of the soul. So if you, the soul gives a complete shekel, it's being disloyal to itself. It's denying its inherent transcendental quality. When the soul gives a half a shekel, it's giving a complete shekel. Because my soul and your soul are one soul, so it's giving a complete shekel, 20 geira. that from the Alter Rebbe's point of view, this is the most essential element when we are dealing with love. Every type of love, really. Here he's talking about the love that we are to have to every single Jew. Take even an issue, I'm not going to say a simple issue, but a common issue like relationships. Everybody knows that today the situation in this area is a very tragic one. I just read a statistic about our own dear state, New York, that 70% of couples get divorced. Which means not every other couple gets divorced, every other couple you meet, but one in three remain married. You're saying it's worse, Shai Vesechrist. I think it's bad enough. I'm talking to general societies, but particularly in the secular society.
What, he got it. The mathematics. So one in every three is 66%.
Machtes HaShekel. Every three is 66. Sorry. I stand corrected. What is the reason for this? Here in this chapter we have the answer. If you don't relate to your soul, you can't really love. You could love, but the love will not have the power of endurance and eternity. Because the animal soul is capable of loving, and the body is capable of being attracted and loving. But as mentioned, with one condition. What is in this love for me? What do you have to give me? Do you have beauty? Do you have kindness? Do you have charisma? Do you have excitement? Do you have a good job? Do you have money? Do you have real estate? Do you have good pension? Do you have a beautiful summer home? What is in it for me? Whether it's more materialistic, whether it's more abstract, whether it's more intelligent. But what is in it for me? If I relate to that element, as long as you're endearing, as long as you're appealing to the eye, the relationship is good and exciting. But things change in life. I become different. My partner can become different. Life brings about its challenges and so forth. Things change. So therefore, this is a love that's inherently a very limited love and a love that doesn't have the quality of eternity. Love begins when you acknowledge your soul and you say, soul, I love you and I want to relate to you. The soul is selfless. That is the nature of the soul. That is the soul. It's not egotistical. It is selfless. It's interested in the other person. Not because what is in it for me. The soul is interested in losing itself, in surrendering its ego to the other person. That is the interest of the soul, to have a real relationship with the other person for the sake of the other person. Because the soul is not defined by the I, but by the cosmic I. The soul is defined by being half. The soul wants selflessness. When I relate to my soul, I can begin loving. And that love is an essential one. It's an innate one and it's an intrinsic one. That is the meaning of ahavta l'reicha kamoicha. You should love your fellow as you love yourself. It doesn't only mean, as we literally interpret it, as much as you love yourself, that's how you should love someone else. What if you hate yourself? You should hate someone else too. It's not a quantity issue. As much as I like myself, that's how much I should like you. It's not even only a qualitative commandment. That the same type of love that I love myself, with that same type of love, I should love you. An essential type of love, not an acquired type of love. That's true, but it's even more than that. V'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha actually defines what is the love all about. You should love your fellow just as you love yourself. That is the definition of loving your fellow Jew. The love of yourself, that is the definition of loving your fellow Jew. The true you is your fellow Jew. That love that you have reserved for yourself, that love you can give your fellow Jew because he or she is part of Kameicha. So you have to love your soul. You have to love Kameicha. And when you love your soul, Ve'ahavta l'reyecha is Kameicha. That's the Kameicha of the soul. The identity of the soul is relationships, is love, is vulnerability, is a true connection with another person. That is what the soul is about. For the soul, thou and I are one and the same. That is the nature of the soul. As long as you don't learn about that part of the soul, your relationships are very defined and are serving the ego. And that can last. But real lava, you need a soul. Now, the thing about it is that the dog will comply with the master. The master will never comply with the dog. The dog will find happiness in following the master, but not converse. The ego will submit willingly to the course of the soul. Doesn't mind. It can put up a little resistance. But the ego will go along. But the soul can never become egotistical. The soul can never become a dog. Chassidus says that's why the bits of after l'reicha kameicha is in parshas Gedoshim. If you don't acknowledge the holiness in you, you can't love another Jew. If you don't acknowledge your transcendence, you can't be Mekayim, you can't fulfill V'after L'Recha Kameicha, and that's why after V'after L'Recha Kameicha, it says, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, because the soul's eye is the cosmic eye, is the Ani Hashem. And in the cosmic eye, all souls are one. So the bodies are what define us. So practically speaking, you're another Jew, very different than I am, and so forth. The Baal Shem Tov said that real Avos Yisrael means loving a Jew whom you've never met before and you don't even know about, just like a Jew that you know about. We know sometimes it's more easy to love a Jew whom you never heard about than to love the Jew who sits near me in shul, or is my next door neighbor, and so forth. I can get aggravated, I can get frustrated, I can experience hate, animosity. So the Alter Rebbe says, you're experiencing a certain sense of hate, a negative feeling, a negative energy, a negative animosity. Turn to your soul. Ask your soul what it thinks about the situation. So the question is, what defines our priorities in life? That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. As long as I'm celebrating my animalistic self, so what defines my priority in life is ego. The moment I can experience joy, as he discussed earlier, because I celebrate my spirituality, this is the direct path to love. When the soul becomes the primary issue in my life, when my spirituality is the significant factor in my life, when the godliness in me is what is important to me, is what I embrace, is what I love, is what I want to kiss, and so on and so forth, when that becomes the case, that's the direct path where I can begin experiencing love towards another Jew as well. Let's learn another few lines and we'll conclude. V'zehu sha'amar hillel hazaken al kiyum mitzvah zu. Zahu kala teira kula ve'idach pirushahu chuli. This explains the statement of Hillel, the elder, concerning the fulfillment of this mitzvah, that this is the entire Torah, and the rest is but commentary. Everybody knows the story in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, that there was a non-Jew who came to Shammai and said, I want to convert and I want you to teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one leg. Now, how long can you stand on one leg for? 30 seconds. So Shammai got frustrated. He took the contractor staff used for building and he threw him out. So he came to Hillel. And Hillel said, you want the whole Torah standing on one leg? I'll teach it to you. What is hateful to you, don't do to your fellow Jew, to your fellow man. This is the entire Torah. The Idach, everything else is commentary on this statement. Now go study the commentary. That's what Hillel said. So everybody asks the question, what is the question? What in the world is the connection between not eating cheeseburgers and not doing to someone what you don't want he should do to you? What is the connection between fasting on Yom Kippur, between having a mezuzah on your door, between putting on tefillin, between putting on tzitzis, between davening, between karbonos, and not doing to someone what you dislike to be done to you? There is no connection whatsoever. A very large part of Judaism relates to man's relationship with his God, with his soul, whatever it may be. Rashi gives two answers. Answer A, Rashi says, it's a homiletical statement Hillel was making. The Pasuk says in Mishlei Chav Zayin, Re'acha v'rei'a v'icha al tazev, don't abandon your friend and your father's friend, referring to Hashem. What you dislike to be done to you, don't do to your friend Hashem. Another interpretation in Rashi is, he doesn't mean in literally the entire Torah, he means the part, most mitzvahs that deal with social elements. For example, don't lie, don't cheat, don't deceive, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't kill. These mitzvahs all express this basic dictum. I don't want that someone should lie to me. I shouldn't lie to someone else. I don't want someone should cheat me. I shouldn't cheat anyone else. But the rest of Torah indeed does not have to do with this statement. This is Rashi's second interpretation. Obviously, it's somewhat still difficult. Apparently, Hillel is telling him, this is the Torah. This is the entire Torah. Everything else is commentary. How is everything commentary on the statement? I'm a Retshine. I saw a beautiful part of the Maggid of Mizrich on this. The Rebbe of the Alter Rebbe. It's al derech hadrush, which means it's a homiletical insight. He says that this convert came to Shammai and said, teach me the whole Torah while standing on one leg. I don't want both legs that characterize Jewish life, that characterize Torah's life, Torah way of life. A Torah way of life, the Maggid says, possesses two modes. Stands on two legs. Ups and downs. One day we're inspired and excited and optimistic, and the next day we want to commit suicide. Or the next day we feel totally indifferent and apathetic. Every Jew, sometimes you're spiritual and you're godly and you feel holy and noble, and sometimes I feel animalistic and beastly and egocentric, and my previous soul inspiration is totally gone and naught, as if it never existed. This is what characterizes the life of a spiritual person. There's deep disappointments, there's moments of depression, there's moments of disillusionment where you don't feel anything and you don't care for anything, even though 6 hours ago you were mamish flying spiritually high. So he says, give me a Torah standing on one leg. I want only the highs. That's what I want. I don't want the melancholy and the depression and the frustration and the difficulties and the trials. I want the powerful journey, the joy, the ecstasy, the heavenliness. So Shammai is dachafay ba'amas habinyin. The structure of this world is based on two legs. There's ups and there's downs. Out. He comes to Hillel. Hillel explained it to him. Hillel said it's important for a Jew to fall. It's important for a Jew to experience low moments. It's important for a human being to be on a down. Why? Not just for yourself. There are souls of other Jews who fell very deep. Who fell into very deep spiritual pits. And there's no one and nothing to elevate them. When a Jew, a spiritual Jew, falls, becomes apathetic, becomes indifferent, goes into a state, a space of darkness, and then rises from there. So in that process of lifting himself up, he also lifts up other souls that need that elevation. He says, you're a convert. A convert as a Jewish soul. If not, he wouldn't be driven to convert to Judaism. The Chida writes, Geishen is Gayer. We don't say Geishen is Gayer. The Gemara never says Geishen is Gayer. The Gemara always uses the term Geishen is Gayer. A convert who converted. It's senseless. A non-Jew who converted. Not a convert who converted. If you're a convert, you don't have to convert. Zak the Chida, that a convert has a Jewish soul before. It's just that this soul was very dormant and latent. It found itself in a dark space and couldn't express itself. So what made the convert suddenly experience a yearning to become Jewish and to allow his soul to be freed if it was in such a dormant position? Because there was another Jew who fell, and that Jew lifted himself up, and that lifted you up. So mada alach sani lechaver chalai savid. What you would dislike. You wouldn't want that another Jew shouldn't have both legs. Because if another Jew wouldn't have both legs, where would you be today? You would be remote and distant and lost spiritually. So you don't do it to your friend. Someone else needs you. There's another Jew who needs you. There's another person who needs you. That's what the market says.
The person broke the
Khalifa. You go down and you come back. So in your process of coming back, a lot of souls dance with you. They as they say, they jump on in your wagon. This is what the market says. As mentioned, this is more of a homiletical approach. The Alter Rebbe's answer, and with this we'll conclude, is the literal meaning of the Gemara. And it's very original because it's so simple, indeed. And here we see how Chassidus indeed imbues Yiddishkeit with real soul and passion and energy. This explanation in the Gemara is another example, which every chapter of Tanya can serve as such an example, but a very conspicuous example of what Chassidus does to Yiddishkeit, how it adds a new vigor, a new illumination, not an additional imposed pshetl, but it reveals the inner soul, the inner consciousness. Hillel says this is the whole Torah. This is the whole Torah, yeah. This is the whole Torah. The question is, what is Torah? What is the definition of Judaism? And I would like, as we're concluding, to pose this questionnaire. How, based on your knowledge and experience, how would you define in a sentence what is the key, most fundamental message of Yiddishkeit?
Well, speaking about it,
fine. Would anyone like to share anything? You don't have to be embarrassed.
Hopefully I I've heard it before. Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg told me that.
That v'haftal rechek mach. Well, that Hillel said.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, but he made it, he said that every...
Well, I once posed... You want to say something?
Love Hashem.
To love Hashem. Okay. Well, I once posed this question. It was a more secular crowd, and one person responded, food.
Bagels and lox in particular, right?
Another person responded, money. Another, power. What is Yiddishkeit? Here, it's unique to find this in a sefer. The Alter Rebbe does that here. What is the quintessence of Torah? The Alter Rebbe's definition? Yiddishkeit is a daily battle for the transcendence of the soul over the body. A daily battle for transcendence, to transcend. Let's see inside. We learned v'zeu sha'amar Hillel hazakin al kiyam mitzvah zuzeu kalatera kulav idach pirushu yichuli. This is the meaning in Hillel's words. This is the whole Torah. Ki yisoid v'sheirish kalatera hu. Because the base is the foundation and the root purpose of the entire Torah is lahagbiya v'laha olahalois hanefesh alaguf maila maila, to elevate and exalt the soul above the body, higher and higher, ad ikre v'sharsha d'chol almin, till you bring it back to the source and the root of all the worlds. Every mitzvah, every idea of Torah, its ultimate purpose and function is to get us in touch with our soul. In our life, at every moment of our life, we have the choice either to succumb and to define ourselves based on our body and our ego and on our animal soul, and that's one way we can live, or based on our soul. Every mitzvah teaches us how to get in touch with our transcendental component, with our transcendental element, with that element that seeks to express in every move and in every moment, as mentioned, ultimate meaning in life. It's a battle. It's a daily battle, morning, afternoon, evening, night, midnight, dawn. A daily battle to transcend lagbiya hanefesh alaguf. It's easy to fall prey to the animal soul and define ourselves based on that consciousness. Every mitzvah, every element, whether it's davening, whether it's not eating spinach on Yom Kippur, whether it's not eating shrimp, whether it's putting on mezuzahs on your door, whether it's karbonis, tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzahs, Chanukah candles, halal, davening, whatever it may be, teaches us, shows us, guides us, gives us the tools to get in touch with our inner selves, to get in touch with our transcendence, to express it, to liberate it, to live with it, to integrate it, and so on and so forth. So Hillel said, you want to know what the whole Torah is? I'll tell you the whole Torah is. The art of love. Because love is the transcendence of soul over body. That is what love is. Everything else is just commentary on the art of love. Commentary. How, where, when. Have a lovely week. Yeah? That's the Lerech. If you love yourself, you love Lerech. That is the Lerech.
But it would make sense what the Tanya is saying, that the whole world is part of our extended self. So we should love trees the same way, and we should love birds. Where do we draw a line of why?
Souls of Jews are one structure. Mamish one structure.
But everything is inside the Orin side.
The truth is, the Alter Rebbe, it's not his aim in this chapter, but that allows a Jew to love the world in general as well.
The whole being. Yeah. The whole
Because every person was created in the image of Hashem. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzalem. So therefore, if you relate to the godliness in you, you respect the godly dignity in every person. There is just nevertheless a special bond. Jewish people are families. They're brothers. Now, families also fight in a different way. That's why Jews know how to fight between themselves like no one else does. So it's a different type of love. But family is family. My brother, my sister is my brother and my sister. So I can love every person. I can love my community and my neighbor and the world and all people. But then there's family. So Jews are mamish family. By extension, if you're in touch with your soul and you love your family, you love every person as well. Jew and non-Jew alike.
The whole creation. But in so doing, by even saying nothing, you represent it.
He said, Adeki madvarem hanal vas. That you magbir your nefesh. So this is the derech to come to Avos Yisrael. Because you can't have Avos Yisrael without it. So Mele Zehu. Zehu Sham, based on this, will understand why Zehu Kala Teda Kula. What's the Yisad of Teda? What's the Shedish of Teda? One could to bring back the Neshama to its source. To live with the Neshama and to bring it back to its Eikev Shedish. The Eibishka.
Avos Yisrael
is Remez on this, which is also... It's not a Remez. So he's telling him, if you're Mekayim Ad Allah Sani Lachavercha Leisavit, the whole Torah is telling you how to be able to get in touch with your nefesh, to be Maila your nefesh, which is how you fulfill the Ad Allah Sani Lachavercha Leisavit. So Mela, that's Kavat Torah. The whole Torah is teaching you how to fulfill Ad Allah Sani Lachavercha Leisavit. Because if you're a Neshama Yid, you love another Yid. If you're not a neshama yid, then you don't love another yid. Because mitzad you're neshama, you're one with another yid. You're connected. You're b'sa'etzim connected. You don't have to be. You don't have to create that. It's interesting. You understand?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I didn't want to get into it. I'll show you here. In the beginning, the Alter Rebbe makes three cheshbonos when he talks about the unity of the neshamas. He says hanefesh v'ruach. Who knows the Gdula and Maila? No one knows. In other words, an neshama that you may perceive as lower is really much higher. And the Shaydish, you don't know. B'shagam, because kulan masim, they're all masim. V'av echad l'kulana. So chassidim were always masbin, and the Rebbe once explained it as well, that it's b'etzim three dargis. Al Benach, what he says is a marshal in Pedig Beis, being a gate of guf. You also have those three darkness in one guf. You have a guf. I have one guf, yeah. So there's an arm, and there's a leg. And there's a stomach, and there's eyes, and there's a brain. And there's differences between them. The leg has something that the arm doesn't have. And the eyes has something that the stomach doesn't have. And the nose has something that the mouth doesn't have. So obviously you could say this is better and this is worse, but nevertheless they all have an individual quality that makes it unique. So miyadeyag the lasanam alasam b'sharshanam akarim alakim chayim, the first level where there's differences, and each one has its unique maila, and on one level it's lower, and on another level it's higher. Then you have how all the ivarim, the whole guf, is in the tipa. In that substance, in the procreative substance that came from the father, that encompasses all the parts of the guf. There it's kulam asimus. It's not this is higher and this is lower, but this has another quality. It's all the same. Because over there you don't see any differences. They go back to a deeper level, they're more united. They're all equal, but there's an all that is equal. And then you have Av Echad L'Kulana. Av Echad L'Kulana is the teapot came from the Mayachav. Came from the father's soul, from the father's mind. They also have the toenails in the head. But there is total oneness. So the Neshamas, you also have these three levels. You have the Neshamas as they already developed into a complete body. There's a complete organism with a head and toes and legs and hands and stomach and eyes and a whole. And even there is also miyedeyag the lasanam alasan b'shash. Furthermore, b'shagam shekolam asimis. You go further back in the teepah is mamash kolam asimis. And v'av echad l'kolana, and the father, which is chachmasi yizbar, chachmad atzilis. Chachmad atzilis is av echad l'kolana. It's the av. There's b'chol no difference. The Rebbe's father writes in l'kut levi yitzchak, b'shagam is b'gematria meisha. Because the second diker, that's experienced through meisha. The teepah. What is Moshe? He said in Pedek Beis, Rashi Alpha Yisrael. They're the head that never left the Moyach Ha'av. They are the physical expression of the Moyach Ha'av. They're still connected to the Moyach Ha'av. The second language of Kulan Masimais is the language of Rashi Alpha Yisrael. It's the tippa. It's not the leg. It's the Moyach, that part that remains similar to the Av. So Gmatria Moshe. Av Echel Kulan is the Ebershit. In the tipa, there's no rush in this regal. It's all mixed up. And that would mean in the shamais, that level where there's still some marker for the differences, but it's in that way, it's in a way where they're all mixed.
In the tipa, if you move in the beginning, if you move itself from the top to the bottom, it becomes a foot.
Right, right. So that signifies the element in the shamais where they're really one big mishmash. Not just everyone has his virtue that I don't have and I need him. Mm-hmm. We're actually connected. Intertwined, interconnected.
Before differentiation.
And even afterwards, you have, and Beruchnis, it's a deeper level in the unity of the souls. It's three levels in the unity of souls. So you don't have to acquire a love. The love is there. If you reveal the soul, there's a love. This is what the soul is made out of. The soul is made up of other souls. That's what it is. It needs love. That's who it is. You understand? You know, the animal soul has to create love. I'm me, he is he. Why should I love him? If I get in touch with my soul, it doesn't have to create love. My soul is made up of he, of you, and you, and you, and you. The soul needs to love you. It's part of the soul. It's like the soul loves itself, yeah? I love myself. I don't need reasons. I don't have to create it. That's who I am. I love it. The soul is not made up of ego. The soul is made up of the cosmic eye that encompasses all souls. So the soul love is B'derech HaMeila. It's part of its identity. You're part of its identity.
And I wondered
my
whole life, have
you
ever experienced my soul, really?
That's what the whole Torah is. So the Rebbe says, what's Yiddishkeit? To allow you to experience your soul. To allow you to experience that part in you that's half. The part in you that's half. To become comfortable with the part of you that's not complete. To become comfortable with that, with the vulnerable part. That part, the machtzis hashekel, to get comfortable with your machtzis hashekel. If you get in touch with that part, it's half. That's what it is. So you love. It loves its other half. It's part of it. It's part of it. So for a yid who's in touch with his neshama, Avos Yisrael is the way to go. It's part of the program. It's life. Not Avos Yisrael is the chiddush. Avos Yisrael is the thing. That's the direct consequence of his or her identity. The chiddush is not Avos Yisrael. Avos Yisrael means being in touch with your spirituality, your spiritual self. Because your spiritual self is selfless, is half. That's the Alter Rebbe's word.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.